Yeah, it's gone now. Well, given the time of the year, given the date and so forth, I'll say Merry Christmas. I'll greet you with Merry Christmas, and then on the way out, I'll greet you with Happy New Year, as we're right in between the two. Excuse me, I'm so sorry, I can't get this. I need to get help from my lovely assistant here.
I assume you mean me?
Yes. Yes, I mean you. Just right here. Just right here. I am so sorry. Just strap it. There you go. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, Merry Christmas. let me go through a couple of announcements here as we're at that, that interesting time of the year, as we sort of feel like we've done it all. We got through Advent, we got through Christmas. You got that little thing here in the bulletin, those two cats, you know. So you're saying that Christmas is over? And yes, it kind of is, but of course it's still in our hearts. Keep in mind for these activities coming up, January 4th, this Saturday that's coming up, we're having that Yankee swap from 1 to 3. So bring some items, wrap them up. It's a game. You get to pick a gift, and then you decide if you're going to keep it. And I don't know all the rules, how they're going to play it exactly, but it's one of those kind of fun things to do. And then the next week, on the 11th, Secret Pal Reveal. And that's also the same day that we're going to take all the decorations down. We'll take the decorations down at 9 o'clock, and then later in the afternoon have the Secret Pal Reveal, a special tea from 3 to 5. So in between there, everybody that's on the council, please remember that your council reports are due, so take next week to get them done. You've got all of next week. They're due on the 6th. Get them done. Make sure it's an annual report, something that talks about the whole year, because the congregation wants to know what we did through the year, not just what you did the last quarter. So make sure that it's an annual report. And also, I want to make sure that I let you know, because I forgot to get it to Jenny in time for the bulletin, but we will be having communion next week. So I think I'll probably ask her to send out an email too, so that those people who are not here will be reminded. We will be celebrating communion next week. Any other events, any other things we need to remember from the calendar? Special announcements anybody has at the moment? We also want to thank you. I know we thanked you as the card was given to us last week, but we did open the card now, and so we want to thank you again for the very generous Christmas gift that was given to us from all of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So if there aren't any other announcements, then let's prepare our hearts for worship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you for just giving us a new day. Thank you for this opportunity to come together as a family and to worship you and to praise you, to lift up your name. We come to celebrate your birth, but we now start the process of reminding ourselves why you came. And so I pray, Lord, that everything that we sing, say, or do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you're able, I'll ask you to stand for our call to worship. I have chosen Matthew 1, verse 21, just because of the season and because we want to take an opportunity to sing a few more Christmas carols. We weren't singing Christmas carols a whole lot through the Advent season, and so we want to sing a couple Christmas carols. But the first one that we have that we're going to sing reminds us as Christian people to rejoice. And it also is a hymn that tells us why Jesus came. We celebrated Jesus' birth. We were excited about the fact that he was born. But why did he come? And we've been talking about that in this morning's call to worship. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So let's join in singing hymn number 98 and remind ourselves of why he came, why he was born. through Advent, we were saying, "Where's the baby?" Take a moment now to greet your neighbor and say, "The baby is here." All right, so as we find our way back to our seats, let's take a couple minutes, let's take as long as it requires, to share praises. What kind of praises do we want to share? Ways that we saw God this week. It was Christmas this week, come on.
51 years ago, yesterday, Connie and I were married at this altar. Praise the Lord.
Well, hallelujah. All right, who can top that? Congratulations. Any other praises? Yeah.
Last Sunday, I asked for a prayer for Aunt Betty. The praises, she came home on Sunday, and she is very much getting back to her old spunky self. Okay. So praise God.
Praise the Lord. And we can understand spunky, probably. Praise the Lord. Any other praises or prayer requests? We got one up here, Debbie, up with Sharon.
First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for buying a poinsettia and making the church beautiful for Christmas Eve. My prayer request is for my grandson, Travis. He has a kidney stone that he has to pass, and I don't think he's quite ready for what's going to happen. So if we could just pray for him, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Oh, we got one over here. Go ahead, Mike.
Keep my mom. Oh,
the black one.
Is it on?
Yes. Okay.
Just keep Marlene, my mom, in your prayers. She's having two procedures done tomorrow and next Monday, the following Monday.
Okay. I saw a couple of other hands. Oh, yes, go ahead.
For my wife, Chris, on top of all her other health issues, now she has a really bad sinus infection. It's making her miserable.
Okay. Daryl.
Yeah, I have a medical-related prayer request that's a bit unusual. Most of you know that several years ago I had to get a heart pacemaker put in. Well, recently the cardiology department contacted me and said they were notified by the manufacturer of the pacemaker that they had identified an issue, a problem with my particular model of pacemaker that sometimes causes it to just suddenly stop working.
Oh.
So anyone who has that model and who is dependent on it all the time as opposed to just needing it intermittently, and since I need it all the time, I'm one of the lucky ones. They recommended it has to be changed to a new one as soon as possible. So that surgery is scheduled for this Friday, January 3rd. And fortunately, the surgery to replace a pacemaker is not as complex as when they first put one in. So there's no chance of me having those rare complications I had when they first put it in that some of you may remember. And they said I'll probably go home the same day. So just prayers for that. But also pray for all the other patients that may be out there that none of their pacemakers fail before they can get them all switched out.
Yeah. Okay. Any others? Any from Zoom?
Prayers again that Tuesday is when my mom goes in for her surgery. So just, you know, pray that that she's help calm her nerves for that, and for the doctors to you know, to have steady hands.
And I'm sorry, who was that?
My mother.
Your mother? Yeah.
Yes.
What's her name?
Georgia.
Georgia.
And she is on Zoom with us.
Okay. Good morning, Georgia. Any others? Okay. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you've heard the requests, but we want to lift them up individually because we know you love each one of these people. We know and love these people, and they are on our hearts, their situations are on our hearts, and so we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for Travis, this being his first kidney stone, as Sharon said, he doesn't know what's coming, and so we pray that you will make that passing be very as painless as possible. Give him comfort, give him strength through that process. We pray for Marlene. She's got a procedure tomorrow and next Monday. And so, Father, I thank you that you already have the doctors, the specialists ready. You have them prepared, and you will be guiding their hands. We pray the same for Georgia, as we heard that she's going in on Tuesday again, that you have all of the surgeons and specialists ready, and especially for Daryl, too, that as he gets this pacemaker replaced. We thank you, first of all, that it was found before it didn't function, and we just thank you that this was identified for Daryl and that this can be done and taken out. We pray that he won't need that before the third, and we pray that on the third that the replacement will go just fine. But also, as he mentioned, we pray that all these other patients who have a faulty pacemaker will that you will keep that pacemaker going, keep it working until they have a chance to have theirs replaced as well. Father, we also pray for Chris with her sinus infection on top of all of her other medical issues. I know that just makes things even worse. We have people here today who are dealing with colds and with breathing issues and stomach bugs and whatever. We just pray, Lord, that you'll touch each one of these with your healing hands, and that they will find comfort, find peace soon. We pray for Bill, who has been at rehab. We just thank you that he was able to get through his. I think I overheard that he's sick now too. So we pray that he would be healed. You know what everyone's going through, and so we just ask that you will supply the needs. You will heal where it's necessary, give strength where it's necessary, give comfort and peace where it's necessary. We just thank you for caring for us and loving us so much that we know that you are concerned about even a common cold. Father, we thank you too for milestones. We thank you for anniversaries. We thank you that we are able to celebrate things from that just continue to remind us of your goodness, giving us a new day, giving us a new year, and just allowing us to celebrate things that have happened in our past. We thank you, too, for the way you provide for us, and we've given a portion back as an offering. We know it all came from you, and so we give back a portion just as our worship, as our thanks, and we ask you to accept it, and to bless it and use it to further your kingdom and your church. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to sing with me the next hymn. It's a little, might sound a little odd as far as the fact that, boy, we just got done Christmas and now the pastor's pushing Easter or Good Friday. I don't want you to look at it that way. We're going to sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Again, we're seeing why Jesus came in the first place, and we celebrated his birth, but we know that he came because we needed his help, and we'll go into that in the sermon. But let's sing together hymn number 127. As I said, we're in that week in between Christmas and New Year's. Wednesday, you know, is New Year's Day, a day when we commit to lots of resolutions. This year, I'm going to whatever you have decided. Maybe this year I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to start jogging. I'm going to go back to school and get a degree. Or in my case, this year, I'm going to stay out of the hospital. And maybe finally be able to play on the church softball team, hopefully. But there are at least two problems with our new resolutions. First of all, they're not new. They're just recycled resolutions from last year. All the things you said you were going to do but gave up on. Apparently, the second Friday of the new year is considered Quitter's Day. That's what I've heard. They said look it up, so I assume it's actually a real thing, because we just give up on these things. And so our new resolutions tend to be recycled ones from last year. I guess you could say they just go in one year and out the other. The second problem, and probably the biggest problem with our resolutions, is that they're formed here in your head, but never make it down to our heart. They start out as good ideas, but they never develop as commitments. So each year, we start all over again. But I want this year to be different. This year, I want you to make a resolution that you can keep. And it comes in the form of a Bible verse. And it's for anyone who's just dying for a new beginning. It's written by the Apostle Paul. Much of what we know about living a Christian life, we learn from the Apostle Paul. Because after all, he wrote like half of the New Testament. And his conduct and his attitudes are presented to us as an example of Christian living. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So is this guy just a person with some kind of inflated ego? Somebody who breaks his arm, giving himself a pat on the back? I mean, how many of us would dare to suggest to somebody, hey, you should act like me? That'll get you taken off a few Christmas card lists, won't it? Well, not if you can back it up like Paul does. He doesn't just say, do what I do. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Do what I do when I'm doing what Christ did. Live like I live when I'm living like Christ lived. If you're acting in a way that follows Christ's example, then you should absolutely tell others to act like you. Because you would be acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God. So if you can't feel comfortable telling somebody to act like you do, then maybe you're not imitating the right person. Paul does it again in Philippians 3:17. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So now he's extending that. There's other people. Live as those who live as we do. That could be you. That should be you, especially if you consider yourself a Christian. Because otherwise, you're providing a bad example. Paul goes on to say in the next verse, for as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. The way they live makes them look like they see no value in the cross of Christ. So hopefully, you want to live like Christ. You want to be an example of a Christian life that people can follow. But maybe you need a little reset. You're just dying for a new beginning. Then I would like to suggest that Galatians 2:20 is just the verse for you. Let's take a look at it today. Today's sermon is on one verse, so we ought to be out of here in no time, right? No, don't count on that. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. In this one verse, we see three principles of a Christian life, three principles that guided Paul's life as a disciple of Christ, three principles that need to guide you and me as we strive to be better disciples of Christ. The first principle is that Paul lived a relinquished life. He says in this verse that he has been crucified with Christ. But Paul wasn't one of those thieves that were hanging there next to Jesus. So what does he mean? How in the world are we supposed to be crucified with Christ? We don't have a DeLorean or a TARDIS or any other kind of time machine. So there's simply no way for us to turn back the clock and physically join Christ on a cross. What's he talking about? Well, we can't actually be crucified with Christ in a literal physical sense, but we are united with Christ in his death when we are baptized. Romans 6:3 tells us, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And he explains in the next verse, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, some of this language can be a little confusing. I thought it might help if we understand what's meant by the phrase in Christ or into Christ. The verse says we're baptized into Christ Jesus. This is covenant language from the ancient Near East. When a covenant was made, there were two parties involved, and each party had a representative that would walk through that covenant process, follow all the steps of the covenant ritual. And if you want to be a part of this covenant, well, then you have to choose to follow or to be loyal to one of those representatives, in which case you're said to be in that representative. So when we submit to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're saying that he is our representative in the new covenant. We're going to talk more about that next week. Everything we do is in Christ. When we're baptized in Christ, it means that he becomes our legal representative. It means that his crucifixion is a legally binding payment for our deserved crucifixion. Our representative paid our price. His crucifixion counts as the punishment we deserved. And so as we sang in that hymn, if we picture ourselves actually standing beneath the cross of Jesus, and we gaze upon the very dying form of one who suffered there, as it says. And if we do it with, as it says, a smitten heart, a broken heart, it can't help but bring tears. We recognize the wonders of redeeming love, and it should make us turn away from the kind of life that we once lived. So we die to ourselves and to our sin. We die to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have a new representative. We have a new life. We're dying for a new beginning. Anyone who has been baptized in Christ and is letting Jesus be his or her authority over all things, well, that person's living a life that's crucified with Christ. And so that person is living a relinquished life. But Paul also writes, he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So here's the second principle in that verse that guided Paul's life. Paul lived an exchanged life. None of us can live the Christian life entirely on our own. We can't do it through our own strength. We can't resist temptation solely by our own willpower. Part of the Lord's model prayer includes the words, lead us not into temptation. Only Christ can successfully live the pure, genuine, victorious Christian life. It is, after all, his life. And when we come to him in full surrender, he begins living his life through us. And we see that life lived out in two ways. First, through Christian living. When Christ lives through us, our lives demonstrate the qualities of Christ. Our lives demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit as described later in this letter. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so the second way people see Christ in us is through Christian service. Christ lives his life through us and he does his work through us. In Romans 15:18, Paul said, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he also said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And in 2 Timothy 4:17, he said, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. If you had to make a resume like this, how many things would you be able to list that you could say Christ accomplished through me? We live an exchanged life. Christ lives in us and does his work through us. Now, maybe this still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. Maybe you can't really understand how all of this works. Well, you're probably not alone. I don't think any of us completely 100% understands how it works. So how about if we just think of it like electricity? I might not fully understand how electricity works, but I know how to make it work. I live out the part that I do know and I do understand. I flip a switch. And then I have faith that the rest is going to work the way it's been explained to me. And then there's proof. The lights come on. So let's live out the part that we do know and understand. From 1 John 3:23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. We believe and we love one another. That's how we flip the switch. And then we have faith that the rest is going to work the way it's been explained. Again, from 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And then we look for the proof. We look for the light to come on. And that's the rest of the verse in 1 John 3:24. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So we've seen that a Christian lives a relinquished life and an exchanged life. And then in Galatians 2:20, it shows us that a Christian also lives a trusting life. Paul says, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." We know that Hebrews defines faith as confidence in what we hope for, a confidence in the bodily resurrection, living eternally with God on this new merging of heaven and earth, like it was in the Garden of Eden, or even better. Confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Assurance that God exists, that Jesus is alive, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Living by faith in Jesus means trusting in Jesus for the things that John writes about in his first letter. He writes about Jesus cleansing us from our sins. 1 John 1:7, we read, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." He writes about Jesus being our advocate, 1 John 2:1. "But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And then we read about Jesus being our propitiation. That's a big word that'll get you a whole lot of points in Scrabble. It just means an offering that turns away wrath. In 1 John 2:2, we read, "He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." And why should we trust him? Well, that's the last part of this morning's verse, the part that says, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." What more reason could you want for trusting Jesus? He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave himself for you. He loves you so much, and we just celebrated the fact that he was born as a human for you, and he suffered a human death for you. So it's almost New Year's, and you want this year to be different. Let me share just two more verses from 1 John 5:4. "Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And then the next verse, 5, "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." If you really want your life to be different, if you want to overcome the world and all of its troubles, if you're really dying for a new beginning, then you need to be willing to die for a new beginning. You need to be willing to submit to Jesus, to take up your cross and to be crucified in him, the way I explained earlier. Christian pastor and author A.W. Tozer wrote this: "If you ask God to give you a special message for the opening year, you will be surprised how faithfully he will fulfill his word and how fittingly the Holy Spirit will speak to you of things to come." Our verse again: "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Maybe Galatians 2:20 is that word from God that A.W. Tozer is talking about for you today. If you're just dying for a new beginning and you're willing to be crucified with Christ, if you are, and if you do, you and everybody else around you is going to see a change in your life. And we're going to sing about that change in just a minute, but let's pray first. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it, even when it makes us uncomfortable, and especially when it gives us hope, when it reminds us of the hope that we have. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for your words of truth that remind us why we were celebrating your birth, the birth of your Son, just last week. I pray, Lord, that as we remember why there was a birth, why there was a human birth, why there was a human death, that it will change the way we live. The people will be able to see that change in our life. But we need your help for that, Lord. We just ask for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I'll ask you, if you're able, to stand and join me in singing hymn number 287. I hope your heart is flooded with joy, and especially based on the birth that we've been celebrating and the reason that he came. So as you leave here filled with joy and hopefully changing your life, let people see that change in your life. And may the Lord guide you and protect you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.